Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." We're going to spend a few minutes looking at Revelation 5. You might want to just open your Bibles back up to it. You'll notice that on the sermon sheet, there is places where you can fill in. They'll go up on the screen. And because it's an all-age service, it means everyone's in. Normally, if you're visiting, children have their own groups. But on the second Sunday of the month, we all stay in together, that we can learn together from God's Word. And that's what we're going to do now. Let's pray as we come to do that. Father, we pray for your help now. Please help us to concentrate and give us hearts that understand and ears that will hear, that we might know more of what it is to follow Jesus, we pray. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Why is following Jesus worth it? I mean, why is coming on a Sunday on a hot summer's day, come to a school hall to sing songs, to pray, to listen to a talk from the Bible, worth it? I mean, why is being teased at school for following Jesus worth it? Why is living differently, doing things differently to how many of our friends might do things, so not playing certain computer games, not being driven by career or status or money, worth it? I mean, why would anyone get into a pool of water, fully dressed, in a school hall, to be pushed under the water, to be baptized? Worth it? And Revelation 5 gives us the answer. And the answer is because Jesus is worthy of it. He's worthy of it because of who he is and what he's done. So let's firstly then have a look at who he is. Ooh. Because of who he is. Now, before we get into just a little bit, we probably just need to understand a few things about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is written by a disciple of Jesus, John, one of his closest disciples. And John has a vision, he has a dream that allows him to see what's happening in heaven. Jesus comes to him in a dream and shows him events that are taking place now and in the future. In other words, he gets to see true events. It's as if he's getting to see behind the curtain into heaven. And as he does this, he uses symbols and images to explain things. You know, we use emojis, don't we? What does this emoji mean? No one knows. So why do you keep sending it to me? Sorry? Is it happy? I mean, what's the technical? jazz hands or happiness. Okay, I just thought it was a simple happy, but hey, maybe I don't know enough about emojis. But John uses symbols like horns and eyes and animals to help us understand and feel things that he's trying to describe. It's kind of a style of writing back at that time. So with that in mind, let's have a look at what John sees. John sees, we're told, verse 1, have a look. Nudge your parents, make sure they're looking with you. Verse 1, then I saw in the right hand of him, that's God, sitting on his throne with a scroll in his right hand with writing on both sides of it and sealed with seven seals. You know, think of those little red wax things you see at school, you know, they put onto the seals, seven of them all over. Couldn't be opened. And then John sees, verse 2, have a look, a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? Now, the word worthy means, it kind of means good enough, deserving. You know when you're at school and the teacher asks for help and they say, I'm only going to ask those who are sitting straight and not talking. Is that what they say? Or something like that. These are the ones, you see, who are worthy to help. They're being good. They're good enough. They're deserving. And this angel is asking, who is worthy, who is good enough, who is deserving to open the scroll? And the opening of the scroll is an important job. Let me show you why. Here's my scroll. I spent a lot of time on this. Do you know what it says? Do you know what to do in light of what it says? What we need is someone who is worthy to open it and read it for us. Who's sitting straight and would like to come and open it? Oh yeah, come on, even if your Chelsea shirt's on, come on. This is the mark of real love. Come on, Evie. Can you open it for me and then read really loudly to everyone? Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll use the microphone here. You there? Yeah, check it on the floor. It's all good.
Behind the stage is the parcel containing presents for all children. Give the parcel to Mark, who will give out the presents at the end of the service to all those who come and find him.
Brilliant. So do you know what to do now? What are you going to do?
To go behind the stage.
Go on then. Is there presents down there? Yes. What are you going to do with those presents? Give them to me. What am I going to do with them? I'm going to share them out at the end of the service. I'm not going to share them out now because what happens is everyone starts rustling and then it just becomes very noisy. So we'll come and see you afterwards. Thank you very much. Brilliant. You see? Now you know what to do. Do you know what to do, children, at the end of the service? What are you going to do? Come and see me if you want a sweet. Absolutely. You see, you need someone to open the scroll, to be able to read the scroll, to then be able to do what the scroll says. And the scroll in God's hand contains God's big plan for all the world. And God's plan is to bring an end to our sin once and for all by dealing with our punishment for sin and to bring his children into heaven. What a great plan. It's going to end sin, all the problems of the world, our rejection of him, and he's going to bring all his children into heaven. We want someone to open that scroll, don't we? We want someone who can open that scroll and do what it says. We want someone who can bring an end to sin, who can bring an end to our rejection of God, our lack of love for him, and all the unkindness and the anger and the hurt and the pain. We want someone to bring an end to all the effects of our sin, sickness, natural disasters. We want someone to deal with the punishment that we face for our sin. Death. Separation from God for all eternity. That we might be in heaven with God instead. Wouldn't that be so good? If there was someone who could do all of that. But look what John says. Nudge your parents again, verse 3. No one in heaven or on earth, or under the earth, could open the scroll or even look inside. And John says, verse 4, he wept. He cried and cried and cried because there was no one worthy to open the scroll. There was no one deserving. There was no one good enough. There was no one who had not sinned. There was no one who had not rejected God. No one. But then verse 5, one of the elders says to him, don't weep. Don't cry. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. And then we're told, verse 6, John not only sees a lion, but he then sees a lamb, looking as if he'd been slain. This one who could open the scroll is both a lion and a lamb. And of course, this one is Jesus. Jesus can open the scroll because he is worthy. He's good enough. He's deserving. Why? Because of who he is. We're told he's the Lion of Judah. That means he's the king. So John's using lion language to speak of Jesus as king. And he's God's promised king. He's the one everyone had been looking forward to all the way back to Genesis chapter 49, where one of Abraham's grandsons is promised that someone, one of his descendants, one of his great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren would be God's king, would be a leader of all people. And Jesus is that one. He's the one with all of God's authority. He has the authority, therefore, to forgive and make us friends with God. But as a king, and like a lion, he is also both powerful and mighty. He can defeat our greatest enemies. You want a king who can defeat your enemies. You want a king who can protect you and keep you safe. And our greatest enemy, as we'll keep seeing, is sin. And our greatest enemy is death. The very things that separate us from God. And we're told this one is that king. But we're also told he's a lamb. A lamb who has been slain. A slain means to be killed. Lambs in the Old Testament were used for sacrifices. Sacrifice was something you offered to God to say sorry, to be friends with God again. So the lamb took the punishment for your sin. So that God didn't punish you. And in offering the lamb, you were saying, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for rejecting you. I'm sorry for not living as you have commanded. And you offered this sacrifice so that he wouldn't punish you, but it would, as it were, punish the lamb. And here John sees Jesus is the king. He's powerful and mighty, but he's also a sacrifice, a lamb who's going to be killed. How can those things go together? How can this king who is powerful and mighty be a lamb who's going to be killed? Well, look what John tells us about this lamb, verse 6. We're told this lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. Horns means power. So this lamb's powerful. See, when this lamb dies, he's offering as a sacrifice. It's not because others are more powerful than him. You know, there was nothing he could do. You know, he's just a poor little bloke who just got put on a cross. There's nothing he could do about it. You know, normally a lamb, they don't have much choice. You just pick them up. But he is the most powerful. And he willingly allows himself to die. And then John says he has seven eyes. It means he sees and he knows all things. I mean, lambs are stupid animals normally, aren't they? But not this one. He knowingly allows himself to die, to be a sacrifice. Jesus is the willing, knowing lamb sacrifice. See, why is Jesus worthy to open the scroll? Because of who he is. He's the lion. He's God's king, powerful and mighty. But he's the lamb, the sacrifice. But it's not just because of who he is. It's also because of what he's done. See, look what it says, verse 9. Have a look down. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, killed. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Jesus had to die so that we could be in heaven with God. He had to purchase us with his blood. What does that mean? I need two volunteers. Two quite big. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's see if that works. Jan and Vali, come on up. You need to just stand here. Can everyone see them? Brilliant. You're going to go this side. You're going to be... We need to imagine this is Jesus. Okay? King Jesus and the Lamb. This, Violet here, is us. Okay? Make sense? Now, the Bible says we have all sinned. We've all done things that offend God. We've rejected him. And we've been unkind. We've lied. I hope you're strong. We don't share. We get angry. We snatch. Some of us are grumpy. We fight. We grumble. And worst of all, we ignore and reject God. We live as if he's not really there. We live as if he's not really in charge, but that we're in charge, and we treat him like he's just there to do what we want, to answer our prayers and give us a nice life. And because of all these things, we face God's punishment. That is, to not be in heaven with him when we die because of our sin. Because at the end of the day, we've rejected God. See, maybe you are kind, and maybe at times you don't grumble and grumpy, and you don't get that angry, and some of those things, maybe you don't snatch or fight. But the Bible says we've all ignored and rejected God. We've all lived our life our way, not his way. And because of that, we face his punishment. But do you remember God's big plan? His big plan on the scroll to bring an end to all our sin once and for all, and to bring all his children into heaven. And Jesus opens that scroll and he reads that scroll and he does what he says. He's the one who can bring an end to our sin, and he can bring all God's children into heaven, all who believe in him. How? Because Jesus is our sacrifice. And as the sacrifice, excuse me, you ready? He takes all our sin, try not to pull out your hair. He takes all our sin, all the times we've been unkind and lied and not shared and snatched and fought and got angry and been grumpy and grumbled, and all the times I've chosen to live my way, not God's way. Lived as if he's not really in charge. And as the sacrifice, as the lamb, he takes our sin and he then dies. He's separated, turn around to flip that, from God, rejected, cut off, so that we don't have to be. But as king, see, as lamb, he takes the sacrifice. As lamb, he takes our punishment. As a lamb, he's cut off. But as the king, he defeats sin and death. And he's raised again. And he gives his perfect right life to us. Do you want to hold that, Violet? Thank you very much. To us. So that now, as the risen King, when we die, it's like falling asleep, to be awoken in his presence. See what he says, verse 10? Not your parent, you've made them to be a kingdom, to be part of heaven and priests to serve God. That we're in his kingdom, with him as king, both then when we die and now. He becomes our king. He gives us everything we now need to live a perfect right life. Of course, I'm not perfect this side of heaven. But before God, because of Jesus, he looks at me and sees me as one who is perfect and right. Jesus has done all that is needed for me to be in heaven. He's brought about and fulfilled God's big plan to bring an end to all our sin once and for all, and to bring all his children into heaven. Thank you, guys. Well done. Do you want to go and sit down? And look what happens as this is heard. Just skim through verses 11 to 14. The whole of heaven, all the angels, all of creation, sing songs of praise to him. All of heaven worships him. Why is following Jesus worth it? Why is coming on a Sunday and a hot summer's morning to sing songs, to pray, to listen to a talk from the Bible worth it? Why is being teased at school for following Jesus worth it? Why is living differently and doing things differently to how the world does it, our friends do it, worth it? Why would anyone get into a pool of water fully dressed, to be pushed under, to be baptized, worth it? Because Jesus opened the scroll. Because Jesus is our sacrifice, he's our lamb, he's our king. He died that we might be safe, that we might be in heaven with him, serving him. Jesus is worth following and loving. And those who see how worthy Jesus is want to follow him. They want to do what he says. They want to praise him like all the angels and all of creation. And they want to be baptized. You see, baptism is it's a picture, it's a symbol. What's going to happen in just a few minutes, in and of itself, does nothing. You know, going under the water doesn't do anything, doesn't change you. It's a picture. It's a picture of dying with Jesus. As we go under the water, it's like being buried and dying to sin and our old way of life that was all about me. And we're washed and cleansed and made new as we come out of the water. It's a picture of being raised with him. Raised to follow him. To live for him. And be with him for eternity. Jesus is worth following. Because of who he is and what he's done. And so when you're teased, think, no, he's worth it. When you're living differently and not playing the same computer games that all your friends play, and you're not going to the late night prom, and you're not tweaking the expenses like everyone else, or you're not stepping on everyone just to get ahead in your workplace, when you've given up your career to love your kids well, or you've given up another evening to teach young people, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth every little thing that we do for him. So will you follow him? Will you trust in him? Maybe it's time for you to be baptized as well. He's worth it.